This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. We're going to go in-depth on the topic with Melanie Premer, Executive Director, and Nicole Rodriguez, Sexual Assault Services Director for Battered Persons Advocacy, both joining us on the phone. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks for having us.
So first of all, I guess, Nicole, why don't you, just to make sure everybody's kind of on the same page here, define what human trafficking is.
Sure. So human trafficking is the use of force, fraud, or and coercion to obtain some form of labor or commercial sex act. And human trafficking is huge as far as being an industry. It's the second largest criminal industry in the world right now. Our estimation is that somewhere around $150 billion worldwide is coming in.
Wow. And that's just, that's staggering, and that to know that it's the second biggest area, I think would be surprising to a lot of folks.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's surprising too, because that's just an estimate that we have. You know, there's not a really great way to track this sort of industry. And so knowing that it's a pretty big problem, even just based off of our estimates, is kind of mind-blowing.
So who is at risk of being trafficked?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So right now, the average age of entry into commercial sex trafficking is the age of 14. But we also know that, you know, kids as young as 12 and maybe even younger have been introduced to this type of life. Some of the risk factors that we try to be really aware of is just that, I mean, this can happen to anybody. So males and females both are at risk. We know that people who are experiencing homelessness can be at an increased risk. People who are providing labor and services under the table because they may not be able to engage in typical forms of employment. Migrant and seasonal workers, and people from marginalized communities in general can be at a higher risk. One of the big things that we have been kind of focusing on lately is that we know that runaway youth have reported being contacted and engaged by traffickers within 48 hours of leaving their home.
Wow. So a lot of risk factors there. And sometimes you think, well, this couldn't possibly be happening, though. You know, this is a Los Angeles, New York City thing. This couldn't possibly be going on in our little Douglas County.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that before I moved to this community, I had no idea that it was such a big thing that is kind of just hidden in plain sight, right? So we live on the I-5 corridor, and so that increases the flow of traffic, of people kind of traveling through our area. And then, you know, Douglas County has some pretty rural parts to it, and so we're hearing more about trafficking that's happening in rural parts of our community where people may not be able to reach out for help.
And when someone is trafficked, I imagine there's a big difference sometimes into how long they're in that situation. Sometimes people find ways out in a shorter period of time, but I imagine some folks could be stuck in that for years.
Absolutely, Kyle. Yeah. So, you know, if somebody is brought into that life at a pretty young age, then, you know, statistically speaking, they have quite a few years to engage in that. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why human trafficking is such a big industry, because a human's body can be used over and over again, whereas something like, if we're thinking about, you know, a good or something like drugs, it's a one-time thing and it's done. So absolutely, some people's experience can go on for years and years, and it's very hard to get out of that life once somebody has been coerced into it.
I would imagine you, once you're in there, you generally lose all your communication abilities with the outside world. I mean, if you're being trafficked, I doubt that you get to keep your iPhone.
Yeah, that's definitely a sign of trafficking, is somebody who's completely isolated. And, you know, that can be a tactic of folks who are trafficking, is keeping people from being able to communicate with their family, with their friends, to reach out for support. And one of the things that traffickers want their victims to feel or believe is that nobody will believe them even if they do ask for help. And so it can make, you know, identification of who is experiencing this very difficult, because isolation is such a tool that's used to keep people engaged.
And don't the traffickers kind of engage in what I would almost call, and maybe it's not the right term professionally, but almost psychological warfare with the person they're trafficking, meaning that they continue to, you know, put them down, tell them they're worthless, and just go down that road to where the person really thinks maybe this whole situation is their fault?
Yeah, Kyle, that's a really good point. So, you know, that mental manipulation and coercion is a huge part of it. And kind of using that against somebody and making them feel like, you know, they're not normal anymore, they're not going to be able to fit into society, you know, that they kind of have a mark against them, and nobody is going to, you know, want to help them. Those are also tactics that are used as part of, you know, keeping people engaged in this lifestyle and keeping them vulnerable. So a huge part of trafficking is really exploiting somebody's vulnerability and magnifying that to the point where they don't feel like they, you know, have an option to leave.
At Peace of Home, at Peace at Home, you work with a lot of different types of victimization that's taken place, and helping the people that have gotten through it or are going through trying to get out of situations and things like that. I would think as well that if you're in it for a period of time, even down the road, if you're able to get out somehow, it's still kind of always there, because how do you explain that on your resume when somebody says, where were you between 2018 and 2020? Why weren't you working?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that can be a big part of the healing journey for survivors, is, you know, trying to reclaim their life. But yes, a big part of that can be just having to just kind of do things that are seemingly easy for a lot of people. When somebody's a survivor, like you're saying, there can be huge gaps in time. There can be huge gaps in employment. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we do at Peace at Home, is really trying to provide people with the support that they may need to, you know, engage in their healing journey, and try to empower them to move forward with their life, whatever that looks like for them.
Now, if people think about trafficking, and especially the I-5 corridor, and once you have a bit of an understanding of that, I think a lot of people would still presume that the trafficking that maybe comes through this area is just passing through and not actually staying here. Is that accurate?
I do think that is a perception that a lot of people have. But we, you know, our numbers of people that we've been able to support and work with are increasing. And so, you know, we're seeing one side of it, and just knowing that we are getting a little bit better at being able to reach out and identify folks who are going through this. But yeah, I think typically in our community, it can be kind of hard to come to terms with the fact that this is something that's going on, especially because a big part of trafficking is that it happens from somebody that is known and trusted by the person, whether that's a family member, a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Sometimes with teens, it's someone who's providing them with shelter or providing them with food. And so, you know, when we think about it that way, that it's people that are known and trusted, You know, it's absolutely something that's happening in our community.
And do you even have situations where somebody's being trafficked? Maybe there's the sexual aspect of that that's going on, but also the predator or the person doing the trafficking also puts the person out there in other situations. I mean, things like panhandling and things like that.
Yeah, so that is another form of trafficking that you brought up. And I think that there are some kind of more common types that we as a society are becoming more aware of and more familiar with. But there are forms of labor trafficking and forms of trafficking that are a little bit more nuanced that we don't know as much about yet. But yeah, I mean, if somebody is experiencing trafficking and control from somebody else, more than likely, you know, it's not just in this one little pocket. It's in many different aspects of their life.
So for Douglas County residents listening to this, maybe a little in shock if they didn't realize this was going on, how do you help raise awareness about this situation?
Yeah, so one thing that has been really, really amazing for our community is that we have the Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force. And through the task force, we've been able to do some really good outreach, do some education, some awareness events. And we can talk about that now or we can talk about that in a little bit. But that has been one of the best ways that we've been able to kind of reach out to the community and provide information about you know, what to look for, who to reach out to if you have questions or are just trying to learn more. And we've been able to do some really cool trainings with, you know, medical providers and local motels and different things like that. So we're doing lots of different things to get the awareness out, but we always need more help from our community to do that.
More, and we'll talk about some events, some ways that you can get involved with Nicole Rodriguez. We haven't forgotten about Melanie Premer. She'll join us in the second segment here. Back in a moment, the podcast up after one at 541radio.com. You're certainly welcome to share that around. Let others know that didn't get to hear the program live today. That'll be up right after one. 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. America Changed Forever from CBS Audio this afternoon at 4. And on Mondays, Inside Douglas County, another look into the COVID-19 situation. We'll talk vaccines and more with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Human Trafficking Awareness Month in January. And before we get out of the month, wanted to have the conversation about it with Melanie Premer, Executive Director, and Nicole Rodriguez, Sexual Assault Services Director from Peace at Home Advocacy Center. And Melanie, what's new at Peace at Home that maybe things people are not aware of right now?
Yeah, so we've had a really, really busy year and some things very exciting. One of the things that happened in late 2020 is we had the opportunity to work with Valiant Seeds. And Valiant Seeds, over the last couple of years, worked with many, many organizations and volunteers to build the first tiny homes in Roseburg. And towards the end of the year, Peace at Home and Valiant Seed came together, and now Peace at Home actually is the owner and operator of these first two tiny homes. And the thing that was really great about taking over this project is it happened in a time where our community was, you know, impacted by the Archie Creek fires. And Peace at Home advocates went out to meet with the Baptist Church and some of the volunteers working on those fires. And during that time, we realized that there was a way in which we could help. And we had a family who lost their home in the fires, and they were the first residents to be able to move into these tiny homes. The tiny homes were really designed to help people, particularly veterans, experiencing homelessness. And so we're really happy to announce that we have a veteran and his family living in those homes. And so it's a huge kudos to our community, especially Greater Douglas United Way, and you can, and the city of Roseburg for making this happen.
So how many of these homes do you have?
We have two. And hopefully in the future, I know there are other community members who are hoping to replicate this model throughout maybe our county.
Now, Peace and Health, and that's a new name too. How long has that been in place?
So we changed our name from Better Persons Advocacy to Peace at Home Advocacy Center last February during our annual gala and dance competition.
And shortly after that, a whole bunch of things changed. And what do you do about that big fundraising event that drew a lot of people and a lot of excitement? What do you do with that in the midst of COVID-19?
Yeah, so we have had, of course, many dedicated volunteers over the years making this event happen by dancing. Last year, we had almost 50 dancers. So we all came together, and we are hosting a virtual event. And the dancers are committed to making this happen. So in the past, you know, some of our teams have had as many as 16 dancers on a team. And this year, our teams are much smaller. And these dedicated dancers are dancing in either maybe 2 to 4 people on a team. And so they're family members or close friends who spend a lot of time together, and they're practicing in their homes this year. One of our teams even practices out on the street in the sunshine when the sun comes out.
Wow.
So our virtual event will still happen here in February on Saturday, February 27th.
So are you going to do it live, or are people going to film segments, or some of both?
Yeah, so we will be, of course, filming our dancers so that you can watch them online. And people will actually be able to watch the entire show at 541radio.com. So if people would like to watch the show, they can go to our website and register through our Eventbrite link so that we can give them updates about the show.
Wow. What's the date for it?
So February 27th at 6 p.m., and you can register at peaceathome.com.
And I suppose you're not providing dinner for this year.
No, but we are asking people to watch from their homes and host their own watch parties, maybe have dinner with their closest friend or family member. And we will have a watch party competition this year. And so using our social media, so our Peace at Home Dance Competition Facebook page and Instagram page, people will be able to upload some information about their watch party, and we will have some watch party judges in addition to our judges who will be judging the competition.
So this is probably a whole different level of work requiring you and all the volunteers to really think out of the box.
Yeah, definitely. And we're working, of course, with our fabulous MC, Brian Prowitz. And so Brian will be hosting our show again with me this year. And we have a great production team behind the scenes doing some really creative things with video. I think it'll be great that maybe we'll get to see different angles of the performances, see it a little bit differently. I think that it's exciting to think about that this year we'll have the most performances that we have ever had during our 10 years of hosting this show. We'll have 8 competitive performances this year.
Now, obviously, this has been a fundraiser. How does that element of things work? Is that based on signing up to view it, or how do you do it?
So the event is free, and we're hoping that, you know, we'll be able to have people watch here locally, as well as many of our supporters who have even traveled to our event before from out of state. So this will give the opportunity for more people to watch. I've even been told that we will have people watching from Korea, Russia, and Australia this year, which is really exciting. So although the event is free, we're asking that people support our dancers as well as our mission, and they can do that through text to give. And we'll have that link available that night. People can also support us, just like our fabulous sponsors have, through our website at peaceathome.com. And you can, there's multiple places where you can give. You can either research text to give or make a donation through our PayPal account.
So one of the things about all this virtual activities, and I've been tracking a number of different things where people have had to make similar shifts, is that you are able to get, you know, you get your relatives, you get your friends in other parts of the country. They can watch, they can get involved. And most of the time, they wouldn't have normally trekked out to Roseburg to see what was going on.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the really exciting things about this year. And it, although this is a learning curve for many of us, I also think that this gives us opportunities to think about our future events and how we may be able to have more people be involved that I know have wanted to in the past. I think, Kyle, you know that every year we've sold out. We usually have 500 people attend the gala, and another 500 people attend our premiere night, and we still sell out. So it's great that now we can offer this to more people, and maybe we could do this in the future as well.
And give people the web address to get linked into this.
Yeah, and it is peaceathome.com.
All right, Melanie Prummer, Executive Director, Nicole Rodriguez, Sexual Assault Services Director from Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.